wars, all kinds of things. You will be persecuted, put to death. Not a seeker-sensitive gospel, was it? You know, people go, I'd love to hear that. So we're not going to deal with that today. I'm going to... You can go. Yeah, that's right. You can go into the Bible and get commentaries, Google it, whatever is necessary. What I want to do is continue on with how we hear the voice of God. How what God is speaking to you, and how do you pick up on that? How do you catch it? And we've looked at dreams already, and we've seen how that's a deep mystery of God, which starts when He speaks to you in dreams. He is pulling out from you and raising up from you the significance of your life, your destiny, the things that you are called to and your purpose. He'll also speak to you about those things there. We've also looked last week at prayer, and we saw how prayer is agreeing with what God is already praying. And so Jesus is praying right now, and you catch up with Him and you agree with Him because He's a pretty good prayer, and so forth. So we've seen that. Now today I want to look at something else, and I want to underline what's going on with this, because our goal as would be the goal of any Christian church is to produce people who have the character and the competency of Christ. Everything else is a distant second to that. People who have the character and the competency of Christ. By that I mean you start becoming like Jesus in your spirit and in your soul because of your engagement with Him. And your competency is you start doing things like Jesus did. And that's what it is, to follow Jesus. Or to walk in the way, which was the earliest name of the church. There's a way to follow, and it's doing what Jesus did. That is our main goal. That's the goal Jesus left us with. That's the goal that we pursue. As we pursue it, we are following after Him. One of the main ways of doing that is by hearing the voice of God. And it's in hearing the voice of God where there is a tremendous release of creativity. Boundaries, walls are taken down, whatever they may be, emotional, intellectual, philosophical, sometimes even physical. And there's a great release of who you were created to be and how you are created to actually relate and be with others at this time and this place. It's really, hearing the voice of God is not really building things that you don't do anymore. It's releasing things that have already been spoken by the voice of God, and you start picking up on it. And we can see that happening as we read the Bible. You can hear the voice of God through the Bible. The Bible not being a list of rules that if you violate them, you are in big, big trouble. That's not what's going on. The Bible is, as John Stott said, the prism through which the light of Christ is broken into its many colors. And as you look at the Bible, you start getting all the different aspects and angles of who Jesus is. And how, when you engage with Jesus, what happens with you? And that starts coming through the Scriptures. It's part of the purpose of the Scriptures. And one of the great things of a liturgical church like ours is that we rehearse the whole story of our people every week. When we come here and we come to the table and we begin to know what story we are in and who we are. And knowing who we are is what releases more of what we were made to do and to be. See, your home is where you can be who you actually are. And for us, our home is at this table. And we hear the story, which is enshrined, if you will, in the Scriptures every week. And then we look at specific parts of it week by week. That is a very different approach to the Scriptures than trying to find a principle which will help your life get better. If I find a biblical principle and I put it into practice, then my life will improve. And if I may be cynical for a moment, well, God bless you with that. That may not work. that just may not work. It may not be workable. Because even the words of Jesus promise some persecution, difficulty, things that aren't going along the way you thought they would go along. You're actually, when you get into the scriptures, you're going into an alternate society which runs against the grain of other things. And it's, as that goes along, your creativity comes forward, who you are comes forward, the blessing of God comes forward, but it may not always be easy. But I say that's okay. That's fine. Well, when you're in the middle of it, it's not always fine, but you get through, because the Word of God is shaping you. Now, I want to build on that a little bit. I want to encourage you, too, to take in the Scriptures in any way that you desire, you want. Some of you are in the community Bible study that goes on around here, one for men, one for the women. I encourage you to do that. Any other Bible study, any online Bible study. I teach a Bible study online through another seminary. Just all kinds of things like that are excellent. They will help you. You can get your own Bible study book, commentary, devotional, go through that. Whatever it is that you think will be helpful to you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and do that. What I want to do today is give you two keys that will help you engage the Scripture in a way that you hear the voice of God. If you don't mind my calling them keys. I don't like calling them keys, but yeah, it's a sermon. You got to do some of this. So the first key. Excellent. Okay. Right. The first key is this. The Episcopal Church and Anglicanism in general looks at the Scriptures this way. There's a phrase which describes our relationship to the Scriptures. Every denomination has one, and ours is this. The Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God and contain all things necessary for salvation. That's our approach. They contain all things necessary for salvation. And when I was ordained both a deacon and a priest, I publicly committed myself to that. I vowed that that's what I hold to. That's the position that I take, which is very comfortable for me because it's a very wide position. It's not a doctrinal position which puts walls around a certain system of thought. Instead, it opens windows, at least for me personally, and I hope it does for you, to look at the Scriptures as the books which hold and contain all things necessary for salvation. There is a life that comes in there. There is a river, if you will, that flows through that. And that is where salvation comes from. Now that's the first key. It contains all things necessary for salvation. And we'll unpack that in a minute. The second key is this. You can read the Scriptures. You can look them over. You can study them. You can get into the original languages at great benefit. Absolutely wonderful benefit. There must come a time, a moment, a manner, a way in which the Bible reads you. When the Bible reads you, you are hearing the voice of God. That's the second key. The first is, it is a wide, eternal entity that holds all things necessary for salvation. The second is, it reads you. Remember last week, when we were looking at prayer, we relaxed into the idea that now we know in part, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, which, by the way, was not written only for weddings. Love is patient, love is kind. That's that same chapter. It's written, there's more to it than that. And part of it is, now we know in part, then we shall know in full. And then the verse goes on and says, as we are fully known. There is something in the way we engage the Spirit of God where we not only get information that may help us, but we are personally fully known. And at this point, we invite God to come and fully know us. Take a look at everything about me, God. And in that way, we start hearing the voice of God, and we'll hear it through the scriptures in ways that perhaps we wouldn't otherwise. So I want to just look at one particular verse today, which is in the Old Testament reading, and start to unpack how this works, how the Bible contains all things necessary for salvation and reads us. And in those two things together, we hear the voice of God through the Bible. In the Old Testament reading, back here in Isaiah, in the sheet that we have today in the bulletin, about, 4/5 of the way down that reading, it says, before they call, I will answer. Before they call, I will answer. This verse has thrown me for a bit of a loop for a number of years. Isn't it supposed to be that we call upon God and then He answers? We frame the question, and then He provides the direction. And here God is doing whatever He wants, whether we ask Him or not. Do you notice that in this dynamic here? And what's going on here is that Israel is in trouble, as they were from time to time, and He's saying, well, the day is coming when all these things will happen. A person who's 100 will be a youth. This and that will be really excellent. And before you say anything, the answer is coming. That's because the Word of God contains all things necessary for salvation. When you're engaging the Word of God, you will get more than what you asked. There is, from before time, the presence of God. Before time, which as far as I can tell, there was an eternity before creation going out, before anything started, and before that, there was Jesus and God, and Jesus is described as the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was any creation, Jesus was already the sacrificial Lamb. And the one who opens up the gates of life for us. From that position, whatever it is, that context, starts flowing the life of God, flowing everything that we were created to be. Everything that God desires of us flows from the time before there was a creation, when He saw us as we are, when He saw what we were created to be, when He sees the exact way we are today and pours life into it. That is the life, the salvation, the wholeness, the mercy, everything that Jesus desires. However you're comfortable describing that incredible, eternal quality of Jesus, that is flowing to us from that moment. That is why, before we call, God has an answer. And the answer will not only be what's immediately on our mind, but it will also be what we were created to be, the significance that we have, the love that He has for us, the way He views us and will never let us go, and the way that He opens up doors to us, even when it appears as if we may be struggling, losing ground, tripping, falling once again, whatever it may be, He is there, and His answer has come from the moment He saw us and loved us and released that towards us. When you are in the middle of anything, fill in the blank, anything, and you still have a sense that you belong to God and you are loved and you are significant, or you have a purpose, you have heard the voice of God. And you've begun to hear that through the story of the Scriptures. Now, you might have been raised in a church that had Bible drill and memorization challenges and all kinds of things like that, and now you can't remember any of it. But if you know you are loved by God, and you know He has chosen you, and you know He looks at you and says, "You are my child, and in you I am well pleased," you have heard the voice of God, and you have heard it through the Scriptures. Now, that's not all He's going to say. There's all kinds of other things that are going to come to you through the Scriptures. And that's where the idea that He reads you, that the Bible reads you, comes in. Because that will be a daily kind of practice where you open yourself up and you, let's say you're reading a verse a day or something like that, and you open yourself up and you say, "Lord, whatever you want to say to me today through this verse, I'm ready. I'm open." And it may be a verse that you do remember from Bible drill growing up as a young child. And there it is. And there's something you never saw before. Well, that's more than being clever. There's something happening within your heart. There's something that's moving and shifting. There's a new creativity that's going to come, a new capacity that's being built right there as the Bible is reading you, so that you can become more of who you were created to be, so that that wholeness and mercy and life that Jesus wants you to experience and walk in every day is coming into you in a specific way or a specific area. And it may not be anything that you think is wrong. It may not be anything that you even thought of before, but all of a sudden there is a piece of the Word of God and it is impressing you. And you're seeing something you've never seen. And doors start opening that were never opened. Or something falls into place that was always out of balance. You've heard from God again. And that's how He works. That's how this is important to us. You add that to whatever other kind of more formalized, if you will, look and study you have of the Scripture. If you're studying Greek, not too hard. It's a little bit like French or something. You know, you can pick it up easily. Hebrew, that's a different matter. Or you're studying other things about the Bible or getting into some academic stuff. You want to add to it, allowing the Bible to read you. So what I want to do this morning is suggest a couple of ways that you and I can move ahead. And you may find it very, very helpful. And as you do, there'll be a couple of results. One of them is you start growing in the character and the competency of Jesus. That begins being reproduced in you. And the way that it would uniquely happen in and through your life starts going on and starts coming forward, which is our goal. That's what churches do, make disciples. So you might ask God, "Well, how do you want me to approach the Bible so that the Bible reads me?" I want to encourage you to ask Him, "How would you like me to read the Bible?" And then, "How would you like the Bible to read me?" And something may come up. A lot of people think, "Well, I have to do that first thing in the morning as soon as I get up. No Bible, no breakfast," other kinds of rules like that. And that may not be you. You may be trying that and find that the only thing that happens is a coffee dribbles down your chin. And there is no spiritual significance of any kind going on till later in the day. And that's absolutely fine, because God is there at that time also. Anytime you can engage with Him. It's when does He want you to be in the position for the Bible to read you? And then how would you do that? And there may be a lot of different ways for that to happen. Some of you may be able to get a verse every day on your phone. Some of you talk to people almost exclusively that way without using your voice or texting or whatever, and God will send you a Bible text. And there it is. And that's okay. What do you want me to know? How is that going to read me? There may be other ways for you to do that. Absolutely fine. My practice in the mornings, most mornings, is to go to my iPad, and I have a form of morning prayer that I go to every morning, and then there's another app where I go to the scriptures for morning prayer, which is a psalm, an Old Testament, and a New Testament, and I read through that, and I ask God, but you'll just hit me with what you want. You strike me with whatever it is. And that that works fine. If it strikes me particularly significantly at one time or another, I'll write it on a post-it and leave it on the table where I am. And there's a few of them still right there. And I want you to know, I don't know what they mean. I know it hit me. And I don't want to let it go. And I want it to form me and something to come out of that. I'm hearing something from God. So that's one way to go ahead. There's a second possibility that some of you may be ready right now to take on. And at some point in our lives, I think all of us would be able to do it. And that is, if you and somebody else, maybe two other people, were to agree to read the same scriptures every day, or once a week, whatever it may be, and then you share with each other what struck you. Now the benefit of that is that you start listening a little more deeply for what God wants to strike you with and what's going to form you, because you're going to write one or two other people later somehow or share with them, when I was reading the scriptures, this is what jumped out at me. Now, knowing immediately what that means is another question altogether. They may not know what it means. You may not know what it means, but you know something's going on. God is reaching for you. And something far more creative, far more imaginative, far more open, and far more life-forming than a principle for you to follow till lunchtime or whatever is happening. When you do that, you start getting into a process in your life where you are receiving from God what he wants you to know, and then receiving from God what he wants you to do about that. I'm hoping that's becoming a familiar pattern to many of us, where you hear it, and then, God, what do you want me to do? That brings you around that circle to a higher place, a greater capacity. Now I'm going to I'll mention one more result, and then we'll come on to the table. I still haven't thought of a way to say this that's, well, all right, I'll just say it. It is possible to read the Bible in a way which leaves us sterile. But the Bible is a seed, and the Word of God is like a seed that is planted, and then the rain and the snow come and water that ground, and what God purposed comes forward from it. What you want is that what comes forward, the fruitfulness. Not, you just don't want the seed, put it on your shelf, say, I got that Bible verse. You want the fruit that comes from a life that has been open to everything, including how God reads you, so that the fruit that he desires for you to bear, the fruit you were created to bear, comes forward. That's the engagement of the Bible in which we hear the voice of God. All these things are crucial for you becoming like Jesus and for this fellowship to grow. For this fellowship, this building, this set of relationships, the ones that are being added in the weeks and months to come, to be the place for the dreams that God is giving throughout this community are given birth. All of that happens as we hear the voice of God, engaging Him in the Scriptures, praying what He's praying, receiving the dreams that He's giving to us. That's how more people take on the character and the competency of Jesus and start working in the way that God has made. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word, and that You desire to create things within us that we've yet to imagine, that before we can even think of questions to ask You and prayers to pray to You, Your answer is already coming and forming us. We ask that You would make us open, responsive, and able to move with You all the days of our life for the glory of Your name. Amen.